Welcome, Hog fans, into this week's edition of the Basketball Podcast of Mid-America. I'm Blake Sutton with Whole Hog Sports. I'm here with Scotty Bordelon of Whole Hog Sports. How are you doing today, Scotty?
Pretty good. It's been a minute since we've done this.
Yeah, we didn't do an episode last week. Last week, they had kind of a long break. They had like 8 days off between games, and so we took a little break ourselves, but pretty active past few days.
Arkansas. It's been a long, like, last 12 hours. to 15 hours, I guess. The game last night started at 9 o'clock, and then they pushed it back because the Oklahoma State-Tulsa game was running long, and the game didn't start until almost 9:15. It was,
yeah.
I think I finally closed my laptop at 12:30, and I was just, like, so wired and so, like, this sounds dumb, but I was, like, so in tuned with the game. Like, I just couldn't shut my mind off. I don't think I went to sleep till like, 2. And I know some of the players, I don't think they got back to their – got back to where they live until like 3:30. I think Keyshawn was up to like 3:30 or finally got back to his place at 3:30. So I know Mike Kawa didn't sleep a whole lot. Mike Anderson said that he got a couple hours, but they're probably – Dan looked a little tired today.
Yeah.
In the press conference. Some of the things he was saying didn't make like 100%, like didn't make complete sense. But
yeah, and there's not a whole lot of oxygen out there either.
Yeah, I've been dragging too.
Yeah. He did say that he – because I noticed I was watching the game on TV last night and noticed that Gafford came out at like the under 16 timeout, and I thought that was kind of interesting. And he said in the press conference today that he was kind of huffing and puffing and couldn't really catch his breath because the air's thinner up there, and he had not adjusted to it yet.
I'm sure it takes a minute. I'm sure I don't know how long it would take to do that, but to get kind of accustomed to playing at that altitude. I'm sure it's not easy, and that's – I mean, Arkansas's bench playing so well last night was really big because I don't think he scored in the first – did he score in the first – I know he didn't make a shot in the first half.
Yeah.
But Arkansas's bench really picked him up, and they scored 22 at the half, so you gotta give credit to them. And I know he said his chest was burning. I'm sure lots of guys were, and you really needed your bench to play well, and especially in a game like that. So props to them. I wrote about them like after the second game of the year when they got outscored. They scored like 12 points or something against UC Davis. It just didn't look very good, but they came out and just they punched Colorado State in the mouth. That was interesting to see. That was pretty fun to watch.
Yeah, the bench really came alive, and that was another encouraging thing to see was that with Gafford coming out so early, Arkansas was actually able to extend the lead with the bench, which I don't think they've really been able to do that consistently all year.
It's like the second time in 3 games I think they've done that. The UT Arlington, Dan got in some foul trouble. And I think in the second half, he picked up maybe his fourth with like 8 or 9 minutes left. And Arkansas just like he came out of the game and they extended their lead and he didn't come back in like the last 8+ minutes of the game. So they're learning to play a little bit without him. You're getting good contributions from Gabe last night. Probably played his best game.
He had a dunk.
Yeah, I mean that looked like that whole sequence where he. I don't know why they got bit on a shot fake on the perimeter because he's not gonna.
Yeah,
I mean he's not a very good perimeter shooter, but he did. He drove right by him, two hand dunk. That looked like a little bit of growth to me. He was pretty active on the glass. So he only played 9 minutes, but he gave you 5 and 5. And Reggie Chaney, outside of that air ball on the free throw, which was pretty rough, but he played really well. He had a couple block shots last night. Both were on the perimeter, which is just freakish.
He's got some long arms.
It's freakish. You know, he blocked one. I mean, if he hadn't run over the guy for a charge on the other end after he blocked the shot at the top of the key, you're looking at just that air ball is like probably the only thing that he didn't. That wasn't great that he did last night.
Yeah.
And aside from that, what did he have? He finished with what, 9 and
11
he finished
points.
With 11 and 8 last
yeah,
night off your bench. That's
yeah, big game
that's crazy.
On the road.
I mean, if Adria wasn't playing so well right now, Reggie might be in the starting lineup. If I had to say, but Adria, I know a lot of people on our message board have been talking about Adria and how much he's progressed. I wrote on him. I think maybe last week too. He's been really impressive. But Reggie and Keyshawn, Embry Simpson. Keyshawn had a great game last night. I'm writing
game,
a little bit on him today. Those two guys, I think, are your two offensive weapons. And Reggie can give you some stuff on the glass too. And Mike even said today that Keyshawn's been One of the reasons Keyshawn's been seeing the floor as much as he has is because he's been consistent on defense. And I almost wrote something about that earlier this week. And then Keyshawn goes for 14 on six shots last night. He's big shout out to those guys. They've grown up a lot since that Texas game.
I thought, also speaking of Keyshawn Embry-Simpson, he looked much more confident with the ball in his hand last night, more so than he has looked all year, I think. Because there were certain times in the past few games where he'd have an open look, but he would hesitate and he wouldn't. He was seemed like exactly. He was a little gun shy. Yeah. You didn't see that last night.
No, and me and you were sitting up next to each other. I think when was it for the? I guess it was the FIU game. And there were a couple of times where he catches the ball with some space on the perimeter. And he doesn't let it go, and I'm just like I'm looking over to you, and I'm like, why is he not pulling the trigger on it? Yeah, he was much more confident last night. He didn't even think about shooting.
Right.
Just shoot or shoot. This guy that he averaged, 25 plus a game in high school. It's not like he can't score. He can. I mean, he's a proven scorer in high school and at IMG Academy. I know he battled an injury when he was there. But, I mean, the dude can score, and that's a good punch to have off your bench just going with Reggie. So, and I'm sure it's really easy to play right now with Jalen Harris. You know if you're open, even if you're not open, he's gonna find a way to work you open. And I mean that's just he's playing phenomenal. But shout out to Keyshawn. He played lights out last night. Shot the ball with supreme confidence last night. He didn't just no hesitation, just pulled the trigger and had a great night.
Speaking of Jalen Harris, wow. I mean Arkansas has not had a point guard like this in a long time. He's most recently been compared to Jabril Durham. I think he's a lot better than Jabril Durham.
Yes.
And some of the passes that he makes, you just haven't seen that.
It might compare him to Kareem Reed during the summer. Yeah. And I wasn't sure. You know, I'm not old enough to like remember watching Kareem like in college, obviously, but I saw him play with the Rim Rockers. You remember the Rim Rockers?
I watched him play. I do now. I had not thought about that.
But Jalen's I mean, I think Hogstats had a number that through seven games, I think Jalen has a handful more assists than Kareem did.
Yeah,
through his first seven games. So he's playing so well, dude. And he had like a number of like wow moments last night. Like the behind the back pass to Adro was one.
The dunk that he had.
I think so. The dunk that he had was nuts. I mean, that's the kind of off the ball movement that you need to that Arkansas needs to continue. Mm-hmm. Like when they throw it into Dan, like that's basic principles. Like when you're running, like no, they're not running a flex offense or anything, but like you feed the ball into the post, you need to like circle cut off of him. I mean, that's an easy bucket. Yeah. He passes the ball, and he's not much of a 3-point threat, so his guy is obviously going to sag onto Dan and try to help his teammate out, but. The cut to the basket was big, and the broadcast crew is even talking about his fresh fade. You know, he's playing really well since he got a haircut. That's a big deal.
Has something to do with it.
It's a big deal.
Sometimes when you get a new haircut, you just have improved confidence, you know, and you feel like king of the world.
I mean, I know I do. Good haircut. I know I do. he also had another play where he missed a jump shot last night, and he immediately knew when it left his hand that it was off. And his defender was ball watching. He just assumed that one of Colorado State's bigs was going to grab it. Jalen grabs it, and before he steps out of bounds, he finds Desi for a three, which is just
that was incredible.
That was unbelievable.
I was watching it. My wife and I were watching it at a bar down on Dixon Street, and that sequence, there were just I don't know if there were gasps, but just everybody just saying just wow, just speechless at that at that play. I mean, you talk about the awareness that you have to have to do that, and just the amount of effort that he gave on that play, just to, you know,
Got some dog in him. And I know there was, you know, Dan got off to kind of a slow start, got some early foul trouble. That second foul on him was crap.
Yeah,
he was about as vertical as you could be, and I think that was just more of an anticipation foul by the official on the baseline, if anything. But he got Dan going in the second half. I think he scored like three buckets straight on three Arkansas possessions. The second one, Jalen was on the left wing, I think, and Dan was kind of carving out space for like a more like an over the top entry feed. But there was a Colorado State defender standing under the rim, and Jalen looked him off and then delivered just like a perfect pass. And he froze that helpline defender so well. And yeah. that was another one of those wild moments for me, because Arkansas has not had a guard that could make that pass and know where the baseline defender or the helpline defender is, look him off, and then make just an on the money pass. They had 28 assists and 7 turnovers last night on the road. It's like you have a team assist to turnover ratio of 4-1.
Yeah,
it's unbelievable.
It's really doing a good job. They're really doing a good job of taking care of the basketball and sharing the basketball. And
that's like the second time in 4 games I think they've had at least 28 assists.
Yeah.
So I mean, this has got to be one of the most selfless teams that Mike's had. And it starts with Jalen. You saw four other guys had 3+ assists last night, including Daniel.
Yeah.
So,
one of the things that jumped out to me was at halftime, Arkansas is up 44-33, 11-point lead. The leading scorer was Mason Jones, and he only had 9 points. And that just really jumped out to me, thinking like, wow, that we have an 11-point lead. Our leading scorer only has 9. They're really sharing the basketball and really just spreading the love around, you know?
Yeah. I was on my way up. I don't know if I'm ashamed to say this or not, but I watched Khalil Garland's Instagram Live video from last night when they were like about to take off on the plane.
Research.
And they were getting on to Mason a little bit. Like, you scored 9 points in the first 2 minutes and then you don't shoot it anymore. But, I mean, he came out just on fire.
Yeah.
And I think right before Mason hit his 3rd 3, Isaiah Joe hit 1 too. So you got both of your shooters going within the first 2 or 3 minutes of the game.
Mm-hmm.
Gabe gave, I think, 5 points all in the first half. Reggie, I think, had 9 and 5 just in the first half too. Arkansas's bench scored 22 in the first half. They scored half their points in the first half. So that bench deserves a lot of credit. Adrio's just getting his in the flow of the game. Hit another really nice baseline jumper off an inbounds pass, I think. So, Dan kind of alluded to it today. He said he knew he wasn't supposed to be on Twitter, but he saw a guy last night that tweeted that this Arkansas team's not just Daniel Gafford. Like, they've got other weapons, like Isaiah and Mason. Mason's averaging 17.5 the last 2 games, and, like, nobody's talking about it.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody's talking about it.
He led all of all scorers for the Razorbacks and with 16, and it was like a quiet game for him.
Yeah, it was, because he got his early. I wish he'd have shot it more, maybe a little bit, just to see what kind of a night he could have had. But
yeah,
this team's not just Dan. Like, Jalen's doing his thing. Isaiah Joe's been in double figures every game, all 7 games. Adrio's giving you close to 10 or 12 a night. We go with 5 or 6 rebounds, just really solid in the bench. Bench played really good. If you can get contributions from your bench, like, you get nights like Reggie had, like 11 and 8, and then Keyshawn coming off the bench hitting a majority of his shots, playing really efficient minutes.
Yeah,
this team's going to be tough.
And
they can defend really well too when they want.
Yeah, and the first few games, we were talking about the bench, how they were just a liability, like there was a huge drop off, and you're not seeing that anymore. We're kind of seeing this team like grow. Like right before our eyes, you know, they are a young team and they're getting it. And today, one of the things that Keyshawn Embry-Simpson said in the press conference today that stood out to me was that I think Bob asked him about how well the bench was playing, and he said that Dan and Adriel Bailey were just emphasizing them that they have to come out with the same energy that the starters do. It's not, you're not just giving these guys a break. It's like you also need to go score and defend tenaciously, you know, and you're starting to see more of that. Like the intensity is higher when the second unit's out there, and it's just going to be kind of a learning experience, maybe every game for some of these young guys. But they seem to be buying in. They seem to be taking coaching on the fly. And case in point, last night, Arkansas was out to a 22-23-point lead. Everyone thought it was in the bag. Colorado State goes on a 17-2 run, and I think it was 2 minutes, 36 seconds.
That was all Andrew Hutchinson's fault.
Yeah, he was catching some heat for Twitter on that. But I remember watching it. They put that graphic up on the screen, 17-2 run in 2 minutes and 36 seconds. We're just looking at each other like, how did they score 17
points?
They scored
like 9 or 11 points in like 55 seconds.
It was nuts. And but then Mike called a timeout. And coming out of that timeout, I think Arkansas went on a 13-0 run.
Mm-hmm. Pushed it back to 20.
And we're looking at the clock thinking, you know, Colorado State has not scored since that timeout. You know, it was several minutes after that.
Yeah, it was like a 4.5 minute stretch where they couldn't get anything to go.
And I think that's just a testament to these players taking coaching and buying in and doing everything they need to do to win on the road. You know,
somebody on Twitter said whatever Mike said during that timeout, mm-hmm. one of his assistants should have recorded it so they can, like, anytime somebody's just like running it down their throat or they need to stop a run or switch the momentum back. They just need to get their phone out, open voice memos, play it in the huddle, mm-hmm. and just let that grab their attention. But whatever. That was a huge point in the game, 'cause you're thinking, oh my God, football. I mean, it's happening again.
Crowd was getting back into it.
Yeah, crowd, all 65 of them in the gym were going nuts. You know, Mike Kaywood said that there were at least like 100 Arkansas fans there, which is pretty solid turnout.
Yeah.
Their crowd was finally getting into it, and they just shut them up really quick. And for a young team, that was incredibly impressive. I've been very impressed with this team, and like not even defensively, like especially defensively, they've really gotten after. I think Colorado State scored, like they got off to a great start because Mason and Isaiah were hot from three, mm-hmm. but Colorado State only scored on like four of its first 15 possessions. I think, and you can hold it, you can keep a team from hanging around or just getting off to a great start. You've always got a chance. So, rim protection was huge. Like Adria was turning guys away left and right. His rim protection this year has been outstanding. And I think one of the big things from last night's game was Colorado State hit 11 threes. They only made 10 2-point shots on 31 on 31 attempts. That's insane. Arkansas's 2-point defense has just been lights out this year.
Yeah, Bailey finished with 2 blocks. Pretty impressive ones too. You mentioned Reggie Cheney's blocks on the perimeter. That was something to see.
Those are freakish.
It's like, how did he get up there? He's got freakishly long
maybe
arms.
Maybe should have been called for a foul on the one before the half, but we'll let it go.
We'll let it go. Yeah, the refs more than made up with a few phantom calls, but they did not really affect the outcome that much. Arkansas cruises to a win over the Colorado State Rams, 98-74. Could have hit the century mark. Desi Sills dribbled it out. Classy move.
Yeah, classy. You know. I'd also like to say, I guess it was this summer, maybe this spring, I went back as far back, I think I went back 4 or 5 years, or maybe as far back as when Mike first got here. Last night was Arkansas, that was tied for Arkansas's second best night in terms of offensive efficiency in Mike's tenure.
Wow.
The second best. And, I mean, I think it's only second best to, I mean, Arkansas's number one, their best game in that regard was on the road,
mm-hmm.
when they beat Missouri they just smacked Missouri around, and last night on the road. Yep. So I mean, Arkansas's playing pretty well on the road. Like, I know the narrative used to be that Mike's teams can't win on the road, but I mean you can't argue with two of their best two nights offensively of Mike's whole time here are both on the road. I mean, obviously they're come against some pretty bad teams, but I mean, they've proven that you can go out and play well away from home. And I wasn't expecting to see this team like battle for like one of those top spots in that regard. Yeah. Like this year, like the offense was pretty average last month, and the defense kind of carried them. But like, man, you got a bunch of shot makers on this team. I guess it's not that much of a surprise.
Well, Arkansas's next opponent, Western Kentucky, Saturday, 2:30. Could have some winter weather. We'll be watching that pretty closely. Talking about some freezing rain, ice possibly.
It'll be hot outside, but it'll be warming up in here.
Yeah. Hopefully it's snow and not freezing rain or anything nasty like that. Western Kentucky coming off a loss to Missouri State last night. Not a good loss. They're 4-4 on the season, but they have a pretty good big man. What do you know about that guy?
Charles, I know his name's Charles Bassey, I think. Well, I guess I don't know that. Is it Charles Bassey? He's going to be pretty solid. I honestly don't know just a great deal about him. But like Western Kentucky, like they're just outside the KenPom top 100. They lost three of their last four. They do have a pretty solid win over West Virginia.
Yeah.
Because West Virginia is pretty decent. I know they didn't play very well the other night against Florida. West Virginia's, like, they don't have the guard play that they normally have. The play that I guess that up and down ball that they normally want to play. They've lost to UCF, Indiana State, and Missouri State in the last 2.5 or 3 weeks. They're going to be looking to come in. I mean, Charles Bassey probably wants a piece of Daniel Gafford right about now, if I had to imagine. Like, and I heard, I think there were 14 NBA scouts at Colorado State last night, and I think Mike Haywood said there's going to be at least 10 on Saturday. You know, Dan said he's not worried about it, and I believe him. I don't think he cares about it.
Yeah.
I don't think he cares about it. He said he'll worry about that after the season. There's going to be a lot of people watching those two guys. Those are two premier big men to keep an eye on. So that'll be fun. Honestly, don't know just a whole lot about Western Kentucky. They block. I think they're 15th in the country in block rate, top 40 in steal percentage. Other than that, they seem like they're pretty average team.
Yeah.
Across the board. So. Charles Bassey, let me see, he's blocking about just a little bit more than 9% of opponent shots when he's on the floor. So that puts him around top 50 in the country, according to KenPom. So another pretty big game for Arkansas. I mean, if Western Kentucky goes on and has a pretty solid season in their conference, that could be another quality win on Arkansas's resume when February and March rolls around.
Yeah, I think they're going to be a better test than Colorado State.
Yeah, for sure.
But I do still expect Arkansas to win. We did a little research on Western Kentucky. We like to get a few little fun facts about Arkansas's upcoming opponents. I didn't realize that they had such a storied program in basketball. We read that they're 14th all-time in wins. That just kind of jumped off the screen to me, and I believe I read that they were third all time in conference championships behind only Kentucky and Kansas. So they have a pretty, pretty storied program. But when and I think Mike today said that their record is not really an indicator of how good they are. You may see that because 4-4 is not exactly dazzling, but they're not, they're not some scrub.
Right.
Mid major, but we always like to look up interesting alumni and interesting facts about Arkansas's upcoming opponents. To me, their coolest alumni that they have, John Carpenter, who directed Halloween, he directed Escape from New York, The Thing, Big Trouble in Little China, Escape from L.A. Just,
I'm a big fan of the Halloween movies.
Oh, yeah. He's, he's a legend, and he's a Western Kentucky alum. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Shout out your boy, John.
Yeah. If we can somehow get in touch with John Carpenter's agent, I'd love to have him, listen to our podcast, and maybe we can even, have him on the show sometime.
That'd be pretty dope.
I think Arkansas is playing Western Kentucky in football next year, so.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, we can have John Carpenter on the.
Is that game here?
Podcast. Yeah, it's in Fayetteville.
I haven't even thought about football since I guess Chad passed out those Christmas cards to us. I haven't really thought about football since then.
Yeah, let's continue to not think about football for a few more months. Fine. We have a few months left till spring practice, but until then, we're going to be pretty focused on basketball. And this is a good team, and I think it's really good for just Arkansas fan enthusiasm, just overall.
Yeah, it's good for their sanity.
Yeah.
It's good for their sanity. Like, they've got a team that's really fun to watch. I know Pat Jenkins came in here and was like, oh, this team reminds me of the teams from the 90s. I'm like, I don't – like, they're fun.
Yeah.
This team's really fun. They're a lot more fun than I thought they were going to be. Like, I thought this team was going to really struggle offensively because you just had so many unproven college scorers. They get after it defensively. They got so many guys. They got a bunch of just guys that – their game you just really love watching them play, like Isaiah Joe. We haven't talked about him at all. His game is really fun to watch. Like, he can shoot the lights out. Obviously, he'll give his body up on the defensive end, and I mean, there's just, and Mason Jones is just steady. Dan does his thing. Like, you can obviously go all the way down the roster and point out things that you like. This team's been a lot of fun, and a lot more fun And obviously, like I said, I thought they were going to be. I thought they were probably going to struggle a little bit early on, but they're way ahead of schedule, I think.
Yeah, so many weapons. But Arkansas will face the Western Kentucky Hilltoppers, Bud Walton Arena, 2:30 on Saturday. That's on the SEC Network. If you're coming to the game, drive safe, of course. I probably live close enough. I could just walk here, but I'll probably drive. It's going to be pretty cold.
Mm-hmm.
But Arkansas's next opponent after that is in North Little Rock, Verizon Arena, playing Texas San Antonio. That'll be the following Saturday.
I'm not gonna be at that one.
I will
be
at that one.
My best friends from college is getting married, so I'll be in Little Rock, just not for that game. So you'll have to look for Blake's highlight videos and that sort.
Because that's gonna be the only game.
No television
all year. That's not televised. So we will have highlights from that game and some coverage as well.
I'll have to get Blake to do my shot chart for that game since I won't be there. So you can do that in highlights, right?
That'll be tough, yeah. I'll just shoot with my left hand. Well, for Scotty Bordelon, I'm Blake Sutton. We're with Whole Hog Sports. This is the basketball podcast of Mid-America. Thanks for listening.